do a lot, and I think we should be valued as that and all the hard work that we put in and on the ground and pass blocking and all those type of things, and you know, I think we should be valued more.
Buffalo Bills running back James Cook. That was from Mandatory Minicamp talking about running backs do a lot, and that's not incorrect at all. It is a bit of a James Cook day. I wouldn't say negatively at all. I know we've kind of, I don't want to say downplayed him. It can be a little weird to talk about Cook because he is a very good player. They just don't use him like you would a top five running back. On him, though, we've mentioned ESPN. They're releasing their top 10 players at certain positions list. They started with running backs today. James Cook came in at number 8. And we also got the NFL top 10 players of 2025 list that's been coming out slowly but steadily. And landing in at number 89 is James Cook. So it's a bit of a Cook day, which is nice for him. Zach Jones and Derek Kramer hanging with you here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. It is a beautiful Monday following, hopefully, what was a long and fruitful weekend for the 4th of July.
I've got a hot take.
Oh, here we go.
It was too hot.
It did get a little hot. I will concur with
get
that.
Get it? Hot take? I'll see myself out.
I will concur with that. I mentioned I was in Toronto yesterday. I'm not even going to know.
The
not
daggers even, Joshua is staring into me it. Right now.
I'm a big dad joke guy, but that was too much.
That was too much?
It was a little too on the nose?
Just a bit.
It also didn't help you looked him dead in the eyes as you said it and finished it.
No, I stared at you.
Well, then you looked right over at him.
I did look at him, but I looked back over at him, and there were daggers.
Yep. But it was a little hot. Walking around Toronto yesterday, the sun was out. It was 88 degrees. And let me tell you, my family's reaction when we walked into the Rogers Center and we saw that the dome was closed, the vibes increased exponentially. It was absurd. It was like, oh, wait a second. It's not just going to be ice cold water on our necks the whole day. We can have an adult beverage. Let's go. Let's go, boys. Let's go set it up. And it stayed closed the rest of the day. I have been there, though, when the dome is opened. The last time we went, it was a rainy day, and then the rain went away, and they slowly opened it for like two innings. It was awesome to watch
right.
as it happened. But it was a little toasty. It was a little toasty.
It was a little toasty. Like, it was too toasty.
But ultimately, a good three-day weekend, very much needed. Again, I'm coming in here on a Monday in a happy, good attitude.
Like, I'm probably never leaving this area because, like, yesterday was too hot.
Yeah, in Buffalo, 88 hits you, and you're like, whew.
I will never end up being one of those
snowbirds. We were in a heat advisory warning, weren't we?
Yeah,
in Western
bit.
New York, yeah. So, I mean, like, it's not going to get that all the time.
Yeah, but still, you'd think I'd want more.
No, you've been pretty dead set on you like winter and fall. And
I do.
Yeah.
This is not
a surprising take from
you. I'm weird. Why do people that are friends with me talk to me?
I don't know. I mean, people live in Canada and they love it. I mean, for the weather.
Zachary!
No, I mean, like, can't, like.
I am also a winter guy.
Yeah, see?
Like, I totally.
People in the North absolutely love winter.
An entire country just because they're north of us.
No, but like, you will deal with cold winters and you love it up there. Good for you. People in Minnesota, they're like, can't wait for ice fishing season. I'm not that person. I'm not going to fault you for it. I think it's a little weird, but I get it. Also going to be too hot. I get it.
Yeah. I don't know. I think it's also because of like, it's easier to do the job here though, too.
Mm-hmm.
More than anything, but also I guess it's that my pasty complexion also favors the not summertime.
Yeah, me and Joe Kelly have talked about it. We walk out in the sun for 5 minutes and we've tanned at least a little bit.
That's the operative word, tan.
Yeah.
Me and Captain Redbeard over here, we ain't tanning.
No.
Actually, I got a nice tan on my recent vacation.
I guess I'll shut up. At least about you. Me, I don't tan.
Josh has finally gotten there. He's like,
good for you, though.
I burn once, and then I tan.
Good for you.
I think it's a lot of people, though, too. You'll go through the burn, and then all of a sudden, you're back to where you need to be. You tanned up. You're fine. I think that's a lot of people. Where me and Joe, very rarely are we going to burn.
Yeah, no. Me, I don't tan. I burn and reset.
Mm-hmm. I burn and reset.
That's what happens, okay? Like, there's no in between. I have option A, lobster, or option B, what I always am.
At least you're consistent.
There's this cool thing called sunscreen.
Still going to burn. Option just won't have, like,
B.
lasting effects.
No, it's option B.
No, you just put on enough
tan.
Where you don't burn.
So, again, that's option B, what I always am.
Well.
Pasty.
Sometimes you can put on sunscreen in the right way.
But then I'm still not tanning, Josh. That's the point of this.
Okay. I'm tanning lotion. How about that? That's the same thing as...
He'll just burn.
I'll just burn. I'm telling you.
His skin don't allow for this.
We need to conduct some experiments here.
I've been around the sun for 36 years. I know my skin at this point.
He's conducted experiments just by living. It's not going to happen.
It's been trial by error, okay? A lot of error. Have you ever walked through an airport with sunburnt feet? I don't think so.
Ooh.
Yeah. It's not ideal.
Trial by error.
Sunburning the top of your feet is probably the worst.
That's a tough one. That's a tough one.
I am a scientist within my own body. I know what I can and cannot do.
Yeah, the sunburn on the feet, that's a tough one.
Science is fun, except for when you deal with it with pain.
803-0550, the number to call. We talked a little Sabres today, if you did miss it. Some arbitration talk came up this weekend. Not even arbitration talk, we just know what's happening. Bo Byram and Connor Timmins. Byram, though, he's in a situation he can pick what he wants, a one-year or two-year deal. Likely, though, he will pick 2 years to allow himself to walk to unrestricted free agency. That could open up the avenue for a trade, because now that he's heading to arbitration, he cannot be offer sheeted. We'll see how that kind of unfolds. Derek, you've mentioned it. You do think there's a good possibility this is the roster, minus a few prospects making the opening night roster, coming up, what have you. This is likely the roster they're going to go in with. I think there's still a possibility they can make a trade. I just don't think it's going to be a landmark one. Although, you could argue with Byram's expectation of being a number one defenseman, number one power play minutes, all that stuff, a team like St. Louis, who's been very much connected to the trade talks, will pay him $8.5, $9 million a year. That would... You would also get there that this is going to be a big trade.
You're telling me that Darren Ferris isn't going to do everything he can to get his client to get to UFA? Come on.
Any agent should do that. If you're not going to sign the big deal with the team, get him to
Ferris
UFA as
fast as possible. Ferris is notorious for playing almost too much of hardball.
Mm-hmm.
Most infamously now north of the border within Toronto.
Mm-hmm.
If I say the word Darren Ferris to a Maple Leafs fan, I'm pretty sure I'm going to see potentially a vein pop out of a forehead. So, yeah, no, I'm not all that surprised that Darren Ferris is going to play hardball with the Sabres here.
Very unsurprising. Very, as the same with Derek Skin, consistent. You know what you're going to get. He's going to get burnt, and Darren Ferris is going to get his client to UFA. And that is what people are paid for. We've also been talking—
I don't get paid for that.
Well, that's fair. Because I mentioned doing a show outside, and you're like, absolutely not. So that's right.
No. You also said, Josh, you weren't here for this. He said
on
the roof.
Yeah. Do a show outside
on
the roof.
Do a show on the roof.
Yeah.
What kind of psychotic behavior is that?
I mean, because it's going to be harder for us to convince our boss to, send us out somewhere.
No.
So instead it'll be, hey, we'll just, right above us, we'll just go a few floors up.
Eh.
Yeah,
now, it depends on the day.
The weather was nicer to where it's not going to kill you going outside there. If it's 88 plus, right. No.
Sunny
I'm not
and 75, though.
Let's go, baby.
Okay, but on the roof, it's not going to feel like that.
Yeah.
The roof.
You could set up a nice little tent for sitting
there
in the commercial
breaks. Place where they put solar panels? Let's go there.
They do put solar panels on a lot of things nowadays, though. It's not just roofs.
Fields and stuff like that. Yeah.
It's the primary place that they put solar panels on.
I don't know. But solar farms, they're big open fields.
Yeah. Okay, ready? No shade.
You put a tent.
No shade.
And you say, hey, guys, during the break, you can go sit in the tent.
Have a little parasail right above me.
Yeah.
Just hang out.
They make those beach tents where you stake down two sides and then the wind blows it open and you go sit inside of it.
At least Callie was on my side, okay?
No.
No, I'm a big outdoor, when we went outside for class back in elementary school, high school.
But also, what's
those
big
days rocked.
But also, what's the point of us going on the roof? If you send us out on
an easier sell. It's an easier sell.
No, ready?
Random Tuesday.
People could come watch. You could sit in the parking lot
on the roof?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What are you going to see? You're looking up 90 degrees and you're seeing us on the roof.
Why don't you sit far away?
What do I do? Do I get a t-shirt can and launch some down there at the spectators?
Sure.
Now we're talking.
Merch.
Actually, I just sold myself on it.
Yep, now we're talking. Thank you.
I just gave myself an excuse for a t-shirt can and I'm a threat to society.
Thank you. They don't fire that hard.
I saw Marty Brown accidentally unload one on someone's chest at a trade deadline years ago.
Well,
on TSN, it was the
you aim high and you let it just kind of the gravity take it. It does a big rainbow and it just falls down nice.
I need whoever is Sabretooth to try shooting it across the ice next year. It'll make it. Just do it.
See what happens.
Just do it.
Just do it.
Why not? It'll make it. You shoot it up to the 300s. It'll make it.
At the very least, be in the position to where if you shoot it across this, it will land amongst the players on the bench.
Yes. Yeah. Shoot it at the bench.
So that there's less error for it getting onto the ice.
Yeah, and then they can just pick it up and throw it into the crowd.
Exactly.
Yeah. There you go. Also talking Bills today, players that potentially by this time next year could wind up on ESPN's top 10 list. I think you could also just argue then the NFL's top 100 list that's also coming out today. But the first thing that came out, Jeremy Fowler's piece at ESPN, he's starting it. The position first up was running backs, and James Cook found himself at number 8. We've kind of mainly just kept this to Bills. We haven't really talked about the list itself, though, Derek. Starting off at number 10 is Alvin Kamara. Number 9, Joe Mixon. 8, as we mentioned, James Cook. 7, Jonathan Taylor. 6, Josh Jacobs with Green Bay. He absolutely had a big year for them after leaving the Raiders. 5, Christian McCaffrey.
I mean, it makes sense. It's more of a projection sort of thing.
It is.
But also,
he scares me now.
It's not the scaring thing. It's the, can you just stop having the worst luck ever?
His injuries have been rough.
But if you look at how he was playing before that, he was helping San Fran stay alive.
I think inarguably he had his best year in 23, his first yes. full year in San Francisco. 272 rushing attempts, just under 1,500 rushing yards, 14 touchdowns. And then receiving-wise, he had 67 catches, 564 yards, and 7 touchdowns. I mean, he was getting MVP shouts as a 27-year-old running back. He was great, and he had some injury issues early in his career as well, 20 and 21.
It's the talent thing.
It's the talent. Yeah, it's if he's healthy, we know how good he's going to be. He's only also 29 years old. I don't know why it's felt like McCaffrey's been in the league forever and that he should be like 31, 32. Him just being 29 and also knowing full well how that team has changed up, the fact that they did pay Brock Purdy, he is going to have a big year if San Francisco is to be successful. So we'll see about that. Number 4, Bijan Robinson. I've mentioned a number of times on air.
That needs to be there.
I think he's one of the most underrated running backs right now in football purely because he's on the Falcons. They have not been good. Last year on 304 carries, he had over 1,400 yards and 14 touchdowns just running the ball. He's been great for them. They've added more weapons. I think if Michael Penix hits, you're looking at a guy that inarguably, I think by week 10, is going to be just a dude that everyone's talking about. Because you'll have him on your fantasy team, you'll be loving every second of it, and then the team will be winning, and so we'll all be waiting kind of for the playoff moments, the primetime games will have more meaning, that kind of stuff. But after last season, I think that's the right spot. Number 3, Jahmyr Gibbs, a pick that I will never forget now, because doing draft coverage, Derek, you were with us, and Nate Geary was hosting, we all kind of laughed at the Lions for going Gibbs. He was picked the same year as Bijan Robinson, picked in the top 10 as well. And it just, to us at the time, didn't make any sense. Since he's entered the league, he has been incredible for them.
I don't remember laughing at that pick, though.
You didn't?
No.
I know me and Nate did then, at least.
Was that 23? Because I wasn't here.
Then that was just me and Nate then. That yeah. We were laughing at it.
Yeah. I didn't laugh at that pick. I actually thought, okay, that's like, I don't know why they took a running back there.
Mm-hmm.
Because you had DeAndre Swift and you let him go. Because that's when he goes to Philly.
That's right.
But that clearly has shown to be the right decision.
Yeah, last year, 250 rushing attempts, just over 1,400 yards, 16 touchdowns, and then receiving 52 catches, 517 yards, and 4 touchdowns. I will tell you, and this is why I'm very happy, I'm okay with Cook being at number 8. I've already mentioned guys like Bijan Robinson and Jahmyr Gibbs, who are sort of kind of built in the same mold as Cook, putting up way more efficient years. They're touching the ball more. They are clear-cut, dynamic playmakers. And I don't think any Bills fan would argue that Bijan and Gibbs are not, in fact, better than Cook.
You know what's surprising, though, about this list? Because when you get to number 2 and number 1, we already know who those
Unsurprising. Are. It's Derrick Henry and Saquon Barkley, yes.
I'm surprised Kyren Williams isn't on this list. I feel like he should be.
Do we have the honorable mentions? Honorable mentions? Bucky Irving? Oh, wow.
He's on the also receiving votes.
We have honorable mentions, Bucky Irving, great rookie year. Aaron Jones, who's really bad in close yardage situations.
Yeah.
Devon Achane, speedster, explosive playmaker, Breece Hall. He's on the Jets. And
James, he's on the Jets.
And James Conner, who just has been also one of those models of consistency, gets touchdowns, gets yards, but won't be like top 10 in most categories.
Right.
Other guys also receiving votes, by the way, David Montgomery, Brian Robinson Jr., Chuba Hubbard, DeAndre Swift, and Kenneth Walker. Kyren Williams is absolutely somebody. I think that's a good shout by you because he's somebody.
Give that man his flowers. He's taking, 83% of the snaps in the backfield? That's a huge workload.
I was going to say, you talk about a guy getting the workload. That's Kyren Williams. 316 rushing attempts last year, literally just under 1,300 yards, 1,299, 14 touchdowns. He also, in terms of receptions, 34 for 182. But in terms of snap count, he is on the field almost 95% of the time.
But also, if James Cook is worthy of a top 10 addition here, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I would say that he is worthy of the conversation. How's Kyren Williams not even an honorable mention when for the last 2 years he's gone over 1,100 yards in each year and 12 touchdowns?
Yeah.
The thing that you look at probably that kept him out of it, in terms of the top 10, at least for me, would be, he's put the ball on the turf a lot last year.
Mm-hmm.
I put the ball on the ground 5 times. He lost 3 of them.
Kyren Williams, by the way, was not 95, it was 85. He was at 86.7% of their offensive snap count.
Jeez, it's still a lot in this day and age.
Yeah, that is a lot.
For bell cow running backs, that's a lot to do. It's also, he does not do a lot within the passing game.
No, he's very much, he's a
running back that produces. And I think that that's really something that we need to look at of why is he not in that top 10, let alone, I did not know it was even worse than that he's not.
I think it might be efficiency. His yards per attempt is 4.1.
Still.
With how much last he's being used, it's unsurprising. No, the 2024, his yards per attempt was 4.1. His career is 4.5.
Okay, yeah, but I'm saying the year prior, though, it was 5. So are we just going to go ahead and ignore all this? Because it should be something where you're if you're gearing up for it, I'm not ignoring the 7th leading rusher in the National Football League. But apparently they are.
Yeah, but I mean, if we're looking at Cook, who finished 8, with far less carries, he's almost a full yard more per average at 4.9 this year. And I think that might be it. We give Kyren Williams a lot of credit for how much he is on the field for their plays, but that's sort of the same
could
conversation
we'd be
having. Could
you imagine, though, if they gave him a break, how much more effective he is?
Right, right. But what we're seeing now is he's not really super efficient. He does a lot for them.
He's not super efficient because the team had no other option last year.
That could be argued, but the opposite could be argued of that's just kind of who he is. He's getting these numbers because of the workload. If the workload was less, he'd be kind of just like, oh, he's a fine running back. He's
but
good.
Also, say it's less workload. Say it's about, 250 carries?
Mm-hmm.
You're probably looking more at 2023's numbers, which are averaging 5 yards a touch,
mm-hmm.
ho-hum another 12 touchdowns.
Yep. I think 2023 had a better shout than last year.
Yes,
because I think it showed that once the workload went up, it went down. Because that's Cook's whole thing holding him back.
Right.
Is what's it going to look like when the workload goes up? And I think it might actually be someone like a Kyren Williams
to avoid him even in the honorable mentions.
I know, just as a receiving votes guy.
Top 15 on the list.
Yeah, that's tough.
Does sound a little criminal to me.
The Bucky Irving one's also pretty good honorable mention. Although, again, you see number 10, Alvin Kamara, and you're like, he's basically the Saints offense. I can understand it.
So, again, that's the same argument.
He's the Saints offense. I can understand it. He was top 10.
If you're using the argument for Kamara.
Scrimmage yards last year.
Yeah. If you're using the argument for Kamara, you should use it for Williams.
Yeah.
So, I'm nitpicking at one player in particular there, but who's definitely curious. I'm like, why is he not in this top 10?
I just think, if he was just honorable mention, it'd be like, okay, that's
fine. I think we're good here.
It is the also receiving votes. He's even further down the list where
you're getting not a top 15.
I was to say, you're getting to the point where you're just here's the 20 running backs, which what do you enlist as that, I guess? Top 10 at least is worth it. Top 20, it's okay.
Top 15 even is okay, these are the guys that made it out. They're on the outside looking in, but they're worth mentioning. Yeah, I'm sorry, but Kyren Williams not being on there is an interesting oversight to me.
803.
Because also, Joe Mixon, I don't really think that Mixon had himself particularly a great season last year. He was solid.
He's just always there from
and
what
I think
I know.
The solid consistency with him is always going to be a factor.
Well, now I brought up yards per attempt for Kyren Williams. It's the exact same. 4.1. I mean, he just objectively had a worse season.
Yeah.
Objectively had a worse season than Kyren Williams.
Thank you.
It's less rushing attempts, but also he played two less games
mm-hmm.
than Kyren Williams. Yeah. 12.99, 14 touchdowns in 16 games and 14 games mixed.
Well, 12.99 is still pretty impressive, yeah, though, considering. Yeah.
But then in two less games, he's just over 1,000 yards and 11 touchdowns. That's for Mixon and at 4.1. Yeah, that might be more towards the line of like name recognition because also he doesn't do a ton in the receiving. Well, 36 catches last year in the receiving game. What was Kyren Williams? 34. Yeah, Williams had objectively, I think, a better season.
Game. It's a passing game and the lack that they use him in.
Well, it's for both. Mixon only had 36 catches, and Williams had 34 for much less yardage, but it's how they used him in the passing game compared to how Mixon was used in Houston.
Like I said, it's all fascinating. You can argue a good amount of players no matter what, but that one's still really, really weird to me.
Yeah. 803-0550, the number to call. Also, some cool news in college football we haven't gotten to yet. We'll get to that after a quick timeout. You're listening to the Northtown Automotive X Point Show on WGR.